Well, welcome everybody joining us online. Today is, do you know what today is? All them things and more. Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday, hallelujah. Does everybody know what that is? Well, if you don't, you're going to find out today. Amen. But first of all, I got a question for you. This past week, have you been practicing your love for God and your love for one another? I done told you it was hard for me to love on people, but I'm beyond that now. Amen. Well, I hope you have. I hope you've been practicing your love for one another throughout the week. This is something that happened to Nikki and I that I just, it's something so really trivial that you'll say, what? But it... I hadn't even told Nikki about this. It meant so much to me. And this is, I think, one way, just one way that blessed me of me, us showing our love for our neighbors, for other people, for anyone. Anyways, let me get on to it. Because I'll get over it and you're like, why did he even say that? We go for a walk. We try to every day. I mean, it's not every day, but we walk our road. There's about a 4-mile little thing that we try to do. And, we've done this, for the last year. We've just walked this road and, we always say, we're like, gosh, why do people throw their trash on the road? I don't understand. And you can tell some of that trash, the cans were faded because they've been sitting there so long. And we just, we would walk by, gosh, why do people do that? Man, I can't believe people. Well, the other day, I guess this is how, sometimes the Holy Spirit has to just come by and whack you over the head with a 2x4 because there was this pristine, clean trash bag blowing down the side of the road. We didn't think to bring our own, God had to provide that on the side of the road. So a light bulb went off. I said, wow, dude, maybe we should get there and pick up some of this trash. So we did. We picked up that trash bag and we walked up, maybe a quarter mile or something, picking up trash. And that thing got filled up pretty quick. But the point, it blessed me. It blessed me. I mean, just something so simple as cleaning up the trash on the side of the road that I walk every day. I walk past neighbors' houses every day, and that same trash is there every day. But this day, we did something about it, and it just blessed me. I just want to encourage y'all with that. That's a little thing. Sometimes it's just little things that we can do to love on one another that make a huge difference. Not only for others, but for ourselves. Amen? I mean, that just blessed me. So y'all be encouraged. Find your little trash bag somewhere on the side of the road and do your thing. I assure you it will bless you. Amen? And then the other thing is, I appreciate whoever dropped off them shoes in my office, but they don't fit. I tried to put my foot in there, and even if I could have got them on my foot, that high heel probably wouldn't have worked out for me. So whoever dropped them off, thank you, but I can't use them, so I don't know. I don't know. Well, glory be to God. Somebody say. Something. Help me, Lord. Oh, yeah, he's not here, but he'll be here next week. Y'all can say that. Yeah, let me just say that. Pastor Rob and Tricia coming up from Florida. Now, they can get out. Now, whether Virginia will let them in, I don't know. But they'll be here next Sunday, God willing, and bringing the message, bringing a word, bringing a powerful word, I believe. And, we've all been in a situation where we've been isolated from one another. So I know they're excited to come up and just spend some time in Virginia, one, in these beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains, but spend some time with you all as well. So they'll be here Sunday, ministering Sunday. And we'll be glad to see them too. And we'll be glad. I mean, we won't be glad that we're not here, but we'll be glad that we're not here because we're going to be taking a little downtime down at Chesapeake Bay, which is a place. I was just telling Gene about this morning. It is I don't know if y'all have places like this, and it doesn't have to be a beach or something, but places that you can go that just kind of restore your soul. There's peace. There's this just a I don't know, an uncommon peace or something about it. And anyways, this place is that for us. So we're looking forward to that. So, but y'all pray for Pastor Rob and Tricia, and then pray for us as well as we go next week and enjoy our entire family. Amen. Well, yes, today is Pentecost Sunday. Why do we designate this as Pentecost Sunday? Well, I'm going to tell you. We celebrate it as really some most consider the birth of the church. That is the main reason why the church, you know, recognizes it as Pentecost Sunday. It is the birth of the, and you know, the day of Pentecost, and there was a sound of them. We're going to get into all that. But, and guess what? Since you are the church, someone say it. I am the church. You are the church. It's your birthday. Every person in here, if you're a born-again believer, it's your birthday today because you're the church. And we celebrate the birth of the church this day. But to Israel, this was known as Shavuot. I hope I pronounced that right. Shavuot. Shavuot has, it's a, I'm going to give you a little bit of history here, and then we're going to move in towards to why the church, the significance for the church. Shavuot has a double significance. It's agricultural and spiritual. This is history, so don't fall asleep on me. It's only just a brief little section here. Agriculturally, it marks all important wheat harvest in the land of Israel. You can find that in Exodus 34, when the Jews would bring their first fruits. Now, you know, it's become kind of tradition for the church to, at the beginning of a new year, you know, we talk about first fruits, we talk about bringing our first fruits. But for Israel, it was the wheat harvest. That's when they brought their first fruits. And spiritually, it commemorates the anniversary of the day when God gave the Torah, or the law, to the nation of Israel assembled at Mount Sinai. Now, the word Shavuot means weeks. And its date is directly linked to that of the Passover. The Torah mandates the 7-week counting of the Omer, which is just a 49-day period, beginning on the second day of Passover, to be immediately followed by Shavuot. This counting of days and weeks is understood to express anticipation and desire for the giving of the Torah. This is what how they celebrate. This is what, why they celebrate Pentecost every year. On Passover, the people of Israel were freed from their enslavement of Pharaoh. How many remember that, right? And then on Shavuot, they were given the Torah and became a nation committed to serving God. That's the history. Y'all excited? I can tell. Let's move on. What's the parallel to the church, you ask? Why Pentecost? Why Pentecost? Well, Resurrection Day, we were freed from the curse of the law. Okay, Passover, they were freed from the land of Egypt. We were freed from the curse of the law. And in Christ, free from the curse of the law in Christ. And 50 days later on Shavuot, or Pentecost, which just means 50th, the church was born and given the Holy Spirit. That's the parallel of why we honor and celebrate Pentecost. So why is it important to remember this time? Because we remember that Jesus fulfilled his promise when he told the disciples, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Amen. But can you imagine when, you know, that he had told them that and then all of a sudden, you know, he's crucified and gone, and they're thinking, oh, how he told us he would never leave us and never forsake us. But then that wonderful day came when he told them, right? He said, gather together, stay with one another. And he sent his Holy Spirit the day of Pentecost. And it's not just as an indwelling of the believer. You know, we understand that I hope you understand that if you're born again, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of you. But this was something more. This was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of fire. And why was this baptism necessary? for power. Power to be witnesses of Jesus. Power. You know, a lot of people get hung up on the tongues, right? I mean, we understand, and we're going to read some of it, but how the Holy Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind and cloven tongues of fire rested on their head and they began to speak in these other tongues. And I think sometimes we get hung up on the tongues part, but we don't even know why. Why? Why did that have to happen? Well, we're not going to miss that point anymore because I want to read. Let me read in Acts chapter 1 that account. And understand, listen, Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, the day the church was born. Why is it so important? And why is it so important to understand what happened that day? We're going to find out. Acts chapter 1, and let me read starting in verse 1 down, and I'll read down to verse 9, I think. We'll just read it. And then we'll drill down into a little bit more. It says, in the former account which I prepared, O Theophilus, I made a continuous report dealing with all the things which Jesus began to do and to teach. And we believe this is Luke's account of what is happening here. He says, until the day when he ascended, Jesus, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had instructed and commanded the apostles, those special messengers whom he had chosen, to them also he showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden and on the cross by a series of many convincing demonstrations, unquestionable evidences, and infallible proofs. Appearing to them during 40 days and talking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. And while being in their company and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. Jesus commanded them to wait. You know, how many of you have ever heard something from the Lord and then he says, but wait? And you're like, but no, God, I want to do it now. But wait. No, now. But wait. That's an encouragement for somebody in here. God may be telling you something, but then he's saying, just wait. Wait on God. Amen? But wait. What verse was I on? 4. But wait for what the Father had promised, of which he said, you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but not many days from now you shall be baptized with or placed in, introduced into the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, so when they were assembled, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will reestablish your kingdom and restore it unto Israel? See, they're still thinking that Jesus is coming to set himself as king over Israel and restore the kingdom. That's what they're thinking at this point. He said to them, it is not for you to become acquainted with and know what time brings. The things and events of time and their definite periods or fixed years and seasons, their critical niche in time, which the Father has appointed, fixed, and reserved by his own choice and authority and personal power. But, verse 8, you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall, and watch, you shall be, listen, you shall be. Why? Why does he want to bestow this power on us? Why? And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. This is the point of why we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, to give us power to be witnesses to a lost and dying world. Amen. Now jump over to Acts 2 and let's look at when this event actually happened. So he's telling them, Jesus is telling them, go to Jerusalem, wait until the Holy Spirit comes, you'll be baptized, and you'll have power to be my witnesses. Now let's look at the event. Acts 2, starting in verse 1. He says, "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all assembled together in one place, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them. And they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other different foreign languages or tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words. Now there were then residing in Jerusalem Jews, devout and God-fearing men from every country under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude came together, and they were astonished and bewildered, because each one heard them," the apostles, "speaking in his own particular dialect. And they were beside themselves with amazement, saying, 'Are not all these who are talking Galileans? Then how is it that we hear each of us in our own particular dialect to which we were born?'" Again, we get so wrapped up on this gift of tongues that we sometimes forget why we were given it. Sometimes. So let me just digress a little bit right here. Let me just digress a little bit, talk about tongues, and then we're going to continue on with the vein that we're in now. Just as on Pentecost, there are three. Let me just say this. I believe, and it's my contention, and I believe this bears out in study, there are three modes of operation of the gift of tongues. And one we just saw right here at Pentecost, when the disciples were speaking in tongues and everyone had heard them each in their own language, their own native tongue. So it'd be like, it would be like a Frenchman coming in here, coming through those doors, who doesn't speak English. And he starts to just speak in French. And each one of us would hear what he's saying in English. So what was happening was, and this is what I think, the Holy Spirit was interpreting what they were saying into the language of each individual person that was gathered there at that time. The Holy Spirit was interpreting that gift of tongues. The second is very similar to that, but instead of the Holy Spirit interpreting the tongue, when you hear a tongue, someone else gets the gift of interpretation and interprets that tongue. You've seen it happen in this church, where someone gets a word in tongues, they speak the word out in tongues, and then someone else will interpret that tongue, basically what the Holy Spirit was saying, right? And it edifies the church, right? Well, the third mode of operation of the gift of tongues is our private prayer language. It's in our prayer closet. It's just between you and God. There's no interpretation needed to receive edification from that. And it's just between you and God. But what is the purpose of all this, you ask? And I believe, let me say this, I believe the third mode of operation, to in my mind, is the most powerful. The most powerful gift of tongues. When you can pray in an unknown language, and then we'll go to Scripture, but it talks about how you pray out the mysteries of God. You pray the perfect will of the Father when you pray in tongues, and you, your spirit man, your inner man, is edified and encouraged and lifted up. When you need direction, I believe that is a perfect opportunity for you to pray with the gifts of tongues. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. So the first two operations, and we'll read this in Scripture, are for a supernatural sign to unbelievers. We saw that on the day of Pentecost. We're remembering Pentecost. We're remembering the birth of the church. We're trying to figure out why, what it was for. And the first two are for a supernatural sign. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22 says, "Thus unknown tongues are meant for a supernatural sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers on the point of believing." While prophecy, inspired preaching and teaching, interpreting the divine will and purpose is not for unbelievers on the point of believing, but for believers. Now remember on the day of Pentecost, how many were added to the church that day? 3,000. 3,000 souls added to the church. Why? Because of this supernatural sign that was happening. They were speaking in a foreign language. They were speaking in tongues, and everyone in a different dialect. That'd be like having a German, a Frenchman, an Italian, a Spanish-speaking person. I don't know, Portuguese. How many other languages are there? All gathered together in one place, and that's all they spoke. But then one person comes in and starts speaking in English, and they all hear it in English. That was the marvel of this point in time. And 3,000 souls were added unto the church. 1 Corinthians, same chapter, verse 4 says, "He who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself, but he who prophesies, interpreting the divine will and purpose and teaching with inspiration, edifies and improves the church and promotes growth in Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness." So he who speaks in a strange tongue edifies and improves himself. And that's what we were talking about, the gift of tongues for your prayer time. They are a private prayer life. And in Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, I'm just going through these scriptures here. "So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And He who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what His intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will." That is when you pray in tongues, that is what is happening. And then back to 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verses 14 and 15. Last scripture about this. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me. But I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me. But I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also." What is the point to this? When you need guidance, when you need comfort, when you need emotional strength, there is a power available unto you. There is a power that you can be baptized with that comes in that gift of tongues that strengthens our spirit man, strengthens our inner man. And we know by Proverbs 18, 14, Pastor Rob, you've heard him say this over and over again, that the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but the weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? When your spirit man needs to be strengthened and encouraged, that's what that gift of tongues is for. But why? Why do we need to be strengthened and encouraged? Why does our spirit man, why does our inner man need to be strong and lifted up? Why? So that we can be powerful witnesses. So that our witness is strong. And when our witness is strong, the gospel is received. And when the gospel is received, salvation from hell and eternal death is communicated. And salvation to abundant life is communicated powerfully, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, there may be some in here that have not experienced the gift of tongues. And is it required? Is the gift required for me to have entrance into eternal life? No. No. 1 Corinthians 12 is very clear about that. It says not all speak in tongues. Not all speak in tongues. Not all interpret. So it is not required, but it is so beneficial. It is so beneficial for our life in this earth. So beneficial. In fact, Paul said that I wish that I speak in tongues more than you all combined. All of the people there. He said, I wish that I speak in tongues more than you all. So it is beneficial. But then he follows that up with this. But I'd rather say 5 words in the common language than 10,000 words in tongues. To put it into perspective. And then he concludes in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39. He says, so to conclude. That's how I know he concludes, because says he concludes. So, to conclude, my brethren, earnestly desire and set your hearts on prophesying, that is, on being inspired to preach and teach and to interpret God's will and purpose, and do not forbid or hinder speaking in an unknown tongues. He's talking about the public speaking of tongues. Don't hinder it. So we're to do it. It's a gift. It's a gift that He's given to us. It's a gift that He gave at Pentecost to give us power to be witnesses in this earth. How many of you are powerful witnesses for Jesus everywhere you go? Oh, it's quiet. It's quiet in this four walls. Listen, I'm just encouraging you that you have the power. If you are born again, if you are born again, and if you've received the gift of tongues, and that's not the only power that you have. We're going to talk a little bit about that. You have power. You have power within you. Why? To be witnesses in this earth. You have power. You've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And there is power there available to you. So what is all the talk about these tongues? Well, they're just one of the gifts of the Spirit. Just one. But all the gifts of the Spirit were given on that day. All the gifts of the Spirit. You can find the gifts in chapter 12, where it talks about the word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, prophecy, healing, gift of faith, miracles, discernment of spirits. That is, I'm telling you, discernment of spirits is one of the most undervalued gifts I think there are in the gifts of the Spirit. Being able to discern between spirits of evil and good. We need to know, especially in these days, we need to know that. And then there's tongues and interpretation of tongues. 9 gifts altogether that were given on the day of Pentecost, the day the church was born. It was no accident that the church was born on that day and the Spirit was given that day. It was given for the purpose, one purpose, I believe, to empower us to be witnesses in this earth. Amen? In fact, chapter 12 calls out of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians calls them special endowments of supernatural energy. Special endowments of supernatural energy. Supernatural energy to do what? Come on, I've said it enough. To be a witness. It's not, listen, these are not some cheap parlor tricks that you come to church and use to amaze the people that are there. That's not what the gifts of the Spirit are for. I hope you understand that they were given on that day to give you power, to endue you with power to be witnesses in this world. Oh. You know, I've seen healing at work in my own body. I can testify to healing happening in my own body. And I've spoke to my body. But I can say that you know, I have laid hands on people and prayed for healing and not seen healing. But I've seen healing in my own body. To me, that's more a gift of faith. Having faith for myself, healing for myself. And not so much a gift of healing where I'm laying hands on people and seeing them get healed. Not that that's not available. It's just we walk. I believe that I have a gift of discernment of spirits. I do. But I don't flow in all nine gifts. I don't operate in miracles. There are people that do. And we each one of us, can operate in these gifts. And some can operate in the different gifts at different times. Some operate in some application of the gifts at the same time. But why? Why? To be a witness. To be a witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is why we set this time aside and celebrate what is we call Pentecost. Listen, I believe the church exists for one reason. I believe the church of Jesus Christ exists in the world for one reason. And that is to propagate itself. That is to multiply itself. Otherwise, when you got born again, why didn't, you know, beam me up, Scotty. I'm ready. I'm gone. Why not? Because you have a purpose here in this earth, and that is to win other people to the kingdom of God. There's no other purpose for the church. Otherwise, we'd all be out of here. The day we said yes to Jesus, we'd be gone. No, we have a purpose here in this earth. And that's to get others to come with us. That's the whole reason God sent His Son. And His Son sent His Spirit to empower us to be witnesses to His Son and the message of eternal salvation. Church, the world needs Jesus, but it needs us as His ambassadors in this earth. Never before in my lifetime, and I'm sure that some of y'all that have been around here a little bit longer than me have seen some things in this earth, but never before in my lifetime have I seen a crisis that would compel me to understand how desperately the world needs Jesus. And the thing is, God has given us everything to be successful in communicating that. He's given it to us. It's done. He's given it to us. We just have to do it. Activate our faith. Go out and pick up that trash. Love on your neighbors. Love the unlovable. Share the good news. Encourage one another. It's up to us. It is up to us. It is up to us. You and me. The church. To show the love of God. to call those things that be not as though they are, to express our faith, to act on our faith. It's up to us. If not us, then who? Jesus ain't going to come back and die again. It's up to us. Just be encouraged today to know that you have been baptized with fire. The fire of the Holy Ghost is on the inside of you. Like Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. That all-consuming fire, that power, the power to be a witness, is on the inside of you alive. And it wants to come out. It wants to come out. He is going, his eyes are going to and fro all over the earth, looking to act on our behalf. But without faith, we cannot please him. Faith requires action. Your faith requires action. And it's activated by what? Love. 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 Man, sometimes it seems so simple. And I say this all the time. We make it so complex. It doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. All we got to do is love. Who said it? John Lennon? Love is all we need. Or is that Paul McCartney? Or the Beatles? How about I just cover them all? I know it wasn't Ringo. Love is all we need. Love is all. You know, they called John the Apostle of Love because he said that. Love is enough. Love is enough. Oh my. Well, you got a little bit of history lesson on the day of Pentecost and why the Israelites celebrated that day. Shavuot. Why we celebrate it is the birth of the church as we know it. And when we tap in to that power within us, souls coming into the kingdom. Souls coming into the kingdom. Not growing the number of chairs we put in here, but growing the number of souls that are saved from hell. Right? Well, glory to God. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the word that has gone forth today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that it is sealed to our inner man and it takes root and becomes grounded on the inside of us, that we understand the purpose of the church in this earth, and that we understand that you've given us power to be a powerful witness in this earth, to save lives, save souls from the pit of hell and translate them into the kingdom of light. And with everything going on in the world right now, it's so easy to get our eyes off of Jesus. But know and understand that when we focus on the Lord, it brings a peace, His peace that passes all understanding in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of everything that is happening around us. We can settle on peace. And when we're at peace, it brings comfort. It brings clarity. If we have decisions to make and we just don't know which way to go, it can bring clarity. And we always follow peace when that happens. So we say that there is no fear among us, but a reverent fear of the Lord God. That we operate and stand in faith and believe that we have a purpose in this earth, and that is to share the good news, this good news that we possess, with all those around us. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. For helping us with this. You are the helper, the counselor, our advocate, our standby. You are the one we can lean on, trust in, rely in. Because you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you for that. Amen. 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 Amen.